This is Joanna Schrader reporting for AgWire.com, and I am at the Ag Careers Ag and Food HR Roundtable in Johnston, Iowa. And I am with Rod Hamilton, who is with Christensen Farms. Rod, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, Rod, you have two roles. You're a communications manager at Christensen Farms, which is a pork producer, a major one. And then you also are a senator, am I correct?
Or
you
House of
Representatives in Minnesota. So
yes.
How is that going for you?
You know what? I do enjoy that. It's interesting. I've been there. I'm serving my fifth term. So 9 full years I've served so far. And it's just been, it's been wonderful. You know, it's fun to be able to represent the people. And, you know, I've been, I guess I've had the opportunity to chair Ag Committee, chair Agriculture, and also serve as the Majority Whip and some of those other roles, too. So it's been fun. It's been interesting.
Well, Rod, it's interesting because the whole purpose of this event over the next couple days is to talk about the severe shortage the industry has of talent. And you yourself didn't grow up on a farm, so how did you end up in the ag industry?
Yeah, thanks for asking. And you know, I was a punk kid, and when I graduated high school, right, I grew up in town. When I graduated high school, I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do with my life. Idle hands get in trouble. I had an uncle in Minnesota that said, kid, I'm going to move to Minnesota, throw you on the farm, and work you and work you hard. And he did just that. He had me taking care of hogs, milking cows periodically for a neighbor, and boxing groceries at the local grocery store. I made about $9,000 a year and had absolutely no benefits. Welcome to the real world, right? But a friend of mine called and said, you like raising pigs? I said, Jeff, I don't know anything else. Just find me a job because my uncle's going to work me to death. So he got me a job working with hogs then.
So then from there, what compelled you to go into, you know, there's a lot of, well, actually I should take a step back. You did talk today about there's some dual issues here. We have a lack of talent in the industry, but we also have an industry that oftentimes isn't being very nice to itself.
Well,
so what do you, you know, from your perspective, as you've been working for Christensen Farms and been in the industry, what are some key issues that you've seen that ultimately have, you know, inspired you to be join the House of Reps?
Well, that's a wonderful question, and actually the concerns that I have is that in agriculture, one of the major concerns is that, you know, there's a lot of gosh shucks, we go along to get along, and we just think people are going to side with us because, you know, we're farmers, we're the nice people or whatever. Well, that's no longer the case because you have people that oppose who we are and what we do, and they're the ones that are willing to tell the story. And so since that has taken place, you know, it's really shed a negative light on agriculture in general. And so what we need to do in ag is we really need to, each and every one of us, step up and share our stories, share the truth about what's really taking place out there. We can't be afraid to do that. And so that's one. And then if we do that, then we'll be able to get more people interested in agriculture, diverse people interested in agriculture, not just your, you know, the typical person that grew up on a farm and bring them back. Let's reach out. Let's broaden our horizons and reach out to other individuals all across the nation.
Well, the focus so far to me a little bit has seemed that you're talking a lot about how do we get kids, you know, from a young age involved in agriculture or through high school, maybe in college, how do we convert them? But what about the people who have been working for 10, 15 years, not in the ag industry? Mm-hmm. I mean, is the industry in need of bringing some of those people over into this industry as well?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I think that, too, is about educating. It's about educating what opportunities are out there. And, you know, the company that I work for, we are a pork production company. I mean, that's what we do. However, if you're interested in research, nutrition, HR, business development, if you want to be an analyst, IT, transportation logistics, that's all opportunities within one company. And now you multiply that by, you know, thousands and thousands of companies across around the world in agriculture, you know, there's a lot of opportunities.
Well, you had mentioned in your presentation today about how ag needed to bring sexy back, but I sort of argue that ag's never been sexy.
What?
So, yeah. So, but seriously though, I mean, how do you really make ag sexy? I mean, some people are thinking, oh my gosh, I don't like IT or I don't like this, so I must not work in the industry. How do you make, I mean, you know, how do you have some kids sitting in some city at a desk think, oh my gosh, ag would be the coolest thing to be in?
Yeah, you know what? And so I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek. You know, I'd like to picture myself as being sexy, and I'm just teasing. So, but you know what we end up doing is you take a look, and I'm glad you bring that perspective up as well, because I was talking with an older lady in the education field, and she said, you know what, Rod, when I was growing up, ag wasn't, you know, we were looked upon as almost second-class citizens. You know, it was, you know, you're that hillbilly or whatever the case may be. And then we moved into an era where agriculture is demonized, and we're still a little bit of that. But now people are recognizing the fact that agriculture is noble. There's not a person alive that can live without agriculture. You know, whether you're doing it yourself and being self-sufficient, everybody has to eat. Everybody has to eat. There's not a person around that can depend without agriculture or live without agriculture. And I think people are starting to recognize that. And along with that, we have to double our food supply in 37 short years. Double it. We have to produce 100% more food around the world. Otherwise, you know what? Even more people in this world are going to starve to death, and that's a sad thing.
Well, you know, I happen to notice, what's the correlation between the fact that you talk about agriculture, the people in the industry have often looked at as a second-class citizen, or you're not very smart if you're in agriculture, which you and I both know is not the case.
That's right.
And then to the shift of, okay, let's think about this. We have to feed double the population in 37 years if we don't have the people. But we're not teaching agriculture in school. So how do we change the thinking from a political level all the way down to not only we have to make ag interesting, but it's a life or death situation for the people around the world if we don't get people interested. So how do we make that shift?
You know what? You are absolutely right. And, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you recognize that as well and the role that you're in. One of the things that we did in Minnesota is that we passed a law that changed to where in schools and high schools that an ag class would count towards a science credit. And so that was so that we could maintain some of these or even expand some of these agriculture classes. We just need to continue educating people, just like you pointed out. I was talking with a gentleman from Kansas, and he said, you know what, we're doing this in a big way, similar to what Minnesota is doing. And actually, they're leading the efforts, if you will. And so there's been some other interests as far as people around there. But you're absolutely right. If we don't address this now and get people interested in agriculture and make that, you know, a priority, you have the baby boomers that are going out. You have the demand going up. If we don't address this now, there's a crisis ahead of us.
Now, in your state in particular, what for people who are in school, you know, whether they're in elementary, junior high, high school, maybe going into college, what are some activities that you recommend that they start to get involved in now that will help pique their interest in agriculture?
Well, you know, it's that's where we can have a lot of fun with this, too. I mean, the obvious one comes up with 4-H and FFA and some of those. But I was talking to a gentleman who's a newfound friend. His name is he's Officer Williams, right? I was talking to him in St. Paul, and he said, Rod, when I was a kid back in the 70s, right downtown, the heart of the cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, we had what was called the JOY program, and it was Job Opportunity for Youth. And it was what we ended up doing, he said, back then, is what we planted urban gardens. Wherever there was a bare piece of dirt, we planted a garden. And then we also offered field trips for these kids to go out of the city and tour a farm. He said, we need to start doing more stuff like that as well. So that's one of the things here in 2 weeks that I'm going to be bringing up on this. I'm on an advisory, Ag Advisory Committee. So we're going to talk about what other things that can we do in addition to some of the ones, the traditional type items. So, yes, I mean, again, collectively, we need to address this.
And, you know, in closing, from an HR perspective, since this conference is focusing on HR, what do you recommend that they need to do a little bit differently to develop and help build and make sure that talent is, in fact, coming up through the pipeline?
Yes. Well, number one, they have to share their story. We all need to step up the plate and share our stories to make sure that we're painting the right picture about agriculture. I would say that one key point would be reach out to our veterans. These are individuals that are risking their lives for our freedoms. They're coming back here, and they have 21%, more than double of the unemployment rate than what the national average. So our veterans, I mean, we owe it to them. Let's reach out to our veterans. Another thing, reach out to minority populations. My goodness, you take a look at agriculture enrollment into our post-secondary schools. And it used to be 89% Caucasian. Now it's 60% Caucasian. We better take a look, a hard look at that, and reach out to minority populations. And for your listeners, I'm Caucasian, all right, just for the record, right? So reach out to our friends there. Another one is that, you know, let's look at the non-traditional areas. Like we're doing this work in the heart of the city, Minneapolis, St. Paul, you know, all across the country. Let's do that. And I want to share a quick story here. I flew to Laos with a Hmong delegation. So it was a wonderful trip. Made some friends who are Hmong. And after the Vietnam War, they said, Rod, we were taken from the jungles of Laos and Thailand, literally the jungles, and we were dropped in the concrete jungles of St. Paul, Green Bay, Wisconsin, Fresno, California. He said, we are farmers by nature, and we would love to be able to get back someone to help show us, work with us, to get back to the farm. You know, all these individuals, they're just thirsting for these opportunities. Let's reach out to them. Let's do what we can to get them there.
Great. Well, thanks, Rod. And keep in touch. Let us know how the session goes as you're starting to continue to develop some of these programs so we can get that word out and get some other states following behind you guys.
Well, thank you. And thank you for all that you do. I appreciate it.